morning, everyone. Good to see y'all here today. So, today we're continuing our series, like Gary said, Restoring the Foundation. We're restoring the foundation. And those first two parts of the series that we were speaking on, Restoring the Foundation, just happened to, the 4th of July holiday just happened to be sandwiched right between them. And so, actually, I don't think it was a coincidence, but that's where our focus has been going on a Christian foundation of our country. We've been founded, this country's been founded, no question, on Christian principles, on Christian values, by godly men. And because of that, I believe that is why we are blessed as a country. It's for that reason. Great godly men gave up their lives for us to have the freedoms that we have and to establish this country. And because of that, each and every one of us today enjoy those great freedoms that we have. It's been a long process. You know, the Revolutionary War, we won our freedom, you know, from Great Britain. And then we had the Civil War, which abolished slavery in our country. But today, our Constitution stands for freedom for every one of its citizens. And I thank God for that. I'm thankful for that. We have to thank God for his hand, for his direction upon our country. So many of us can so easily forget why this country is great. It's great because God has blessed it. God has blessed us. I believe that blessing is because our founding fathers put him first. So I want to talk about some of those founding fathers again today. In his inaugural address to Congress, George Washington revealed that he recognized that the hand of God and his role in the birth of our nation was relevant. Kathy, could you pull up the first slide? This is what George Washington said in his inaugural address to the Congress. No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States. Every step by which they have advanced to the character of an independent nation seems to be have been distinguished by some token of providential agency. We ought to be no less persuaded that the propitious or the favorable smiles of heaven cannot be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right, which heaven itself has ordained. So George Washington clearly acknowledged the blessing of God on our country and his providential hand at work in establishing it. But did you notice also he has a warning in there, the warning that God's blessings and his smiles could be taken away from us as a nation if we turn away from God. There's a warning in there. We need to heed that warning. Another founding father, President Abraham Lincoln, he also acknowledged God and the Bible and their role in our nation. Kathy, could you bring up the next slide? This is what Abraham Lincoln said. It is the duty of nations as well as of men to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God. To own their dependence upon the overruling power of God and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by all history that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. Is that powerful? Those are our founding fathers, guys. That President Lincoln's comments were on that banner over there. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Psalm 33, 12. When God blesses, there's always a danger that we might forget the source of those blessings and become proud. You know, we could become proud in ourselves. Hey, we can put men on the moon. You know, we don't need you, God. We could put men on the moon. We got air conditioners that work. We got cars. We got all that stuff. Pride is a very subtle sin. It can lead people away from God real quick, more so than any other sins. Kathy, could you bring up Proverbs 16:18? The Bible says, pride goes before destruction, or a haughty spirit before a fall. You know, Moses warned the people about this danger in Deuteronomy 8. Kathy, could you bring up Deuteronomy 8 for me? Thank you. Verses 11, I'm going to show you, go through 14 and beyond. Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. Beware, this is Moses warning the people. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and beautiful cars and beautiful air conditioners and beautiful rockets and beautiful houses and you dwell in them. Verse 13, Kathy. And when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. This is the New King James Version, from the house of bondage. The NIV says, out of the land of slavery. Okay, it applies. Go on to Deuteronomy 8, verse 17. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And then you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. Verse 19, then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. Strong warning. You know, God has blessed America greatly. But because of it, we may have a tendency here in America, our people, to become very proud and forget God. When we're blessed, we sometimes take credit for those blessings, you know, and the things that we've accomplished. Our accomplishments can make us feel real good. You know, we feel real good about ourselves. But before you know it, we soon believe that we can accomplish whatever we want without God, without his help, without his wisdom. That's a dangerous way of thinking. The Bible says pride, you know, pride goes before a fall. I was humbled this morning to be able to go to my air conditioner and turn it on, and so thankful to God. You know, we got the car, we have all these things. But it's dangerous to think that because of all of our accomplishments, we don't need God. We got to be thankful to God, because he's the one that gives us the creativity. He's the one that gives us the power to gain wealth. It's all about God, not about us. It's not about us. It's a dangerous way of thinking when you think we don't need God anymore. We got this, God. We don't need you. Very dangerous. That's pride. Pride goes before a fall. Kathy, Proverbs 16:5 says, the Lord, this is the NIV version, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. The New King James puts it this way, every proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Strong word. Though they join in forces, none will go unpunished. Though they join in forces, none will go unpunished. A lot of forces are joining in our country that are against God. They will not go unpunished. You know, you can look all around and you might say, gee, it looks like God's not winning here. But I tell you, I read the end of the book. He wins. And we win too. Amen. We win. In those first two messages, I was focusing on our country's foundation. And some of the things I said, you know, that we've seen a major shifting in our country away from God and away from his word. That's our country's foundation. That's what our country was built upon. That's why we've been blessed. We've seen, you know, over several decades, our nation's morality declining. You see it all around you. And if we want to continue as a great nation, we have to see our people return back to God and his word. That's where, that's our Christian foundation. I thought it was rather timely last week when we had the prophet here. And he said the same thing. I didn't tell him what we were preaching on, you know. He had no idea. But he came and declared the same thing. He said that our country needs to turn back to God. We need a spiritual revival in the land to turn back to God and his word. John Mark used this word. He said desperate. He used that word desperate. We have to be desperate for God, desperate for him. Because he's the only one that can turn this thing around. He's the only one. Our hearts need to be totally surrendered to God. Two of the things that I focused on during those two messages. One, I said that we need God's truth. We need the truth of God's word. And we need to be very discerning. We have to use discernment in this day. We need to be discerning of the division that we keep seeing in this country. We have to use wisdom. That division can be very subtle. There is an agenda by the enemy to cause division in our country. I don't know if you've noticed it at all or not, but you know, he caused division in a very perfect place, the Garden of Eden. He's doing it here today too. We need to discern that and be aware of it. He got Eve to question God, to question his word. He got her to discredit God's word, to disobey God's word. That's where we saw Adam and Eve, really, they got into pride. And then we saw the fall. Pride goes before the fall. Remember our signature verse, Psalm 11:3, Kathy, if the foundation is being destroyed, if the foundation is being compromised, the whole structure falls. The whole structure falls. This country was founded on Christian principles and values. That's why the enemy is trying so hard to come against us. And he's trying to do it from within our borders. He's doing it from within our borders. You know, this whole thing about, you know, Donald Trump and the Russia and, you know, the whole thing since he took on the presidency, that has been an attempt to divide. It's been an attempt to attack and divide. You know, this is now, what, you know, 2.5 years into this thing? And millions of our tax dollars later, and there's no evidence. There's nothing there. There's no connection to Russia or support from Russia. There's no Russian collusion. But this is an example of one of the many tactics that the enemy is using to cause division in our country. I can tell you this. Russian money was on Hillary Clinton to become our president. There were a number of Russian companies and individuals who contributed millions of dollars to the Clinton Foundation. That election backfired on those Russians and on the Clintons when evangelicals got out and voted. That was not their desired outcome. They did not expect that outcome. They didn't want Trump to become president. And actually, they felt they had it in the bag. But God. But God. God worked in the hearts. He moved in the hearts of his people. And his people got out and voted. Just like Gary said, they got out and they voted. And now they're still trying to get him impeached. But there's no valid reason for impeachment. They keep grabbing at straws. You know, they're grabbing at straws. Whether you like them or not, Donald Trump was God's choice for presidency. You got to know. You got to know. You got to have that discernment, guys. Many in the church don't have it. They don't have it. John Mark Poole was one of the few prophets back in 2015 and 2016. When it looked like Hillary had it all in the bag, John Mark Poole was one of the prophets that stood up and said, Donald Trump is God's choice, and he will be in the White House. He declared it. It's fact. It's already recorded. That he was one of them. John Mark's the real deal, guys. Did you get that sense when you were here last week? He's the real deal. We still do have prophets, evangelists. We got the fivefold ministry still operating in the body of Christ. And so we honor those gifts. We honor those gifts. You know, this Russian collusion thing, that was just one example of the division that continually comes against our country. There are many others, but I want to stand on that one for a while, okay? I have some things I want to share because it ties right into the topic that we're looking at. We as Christians have to be informed. We have to know the truth. We have to exercise strong discernment. We need to know who is for God and who's against God. God will tell us. We got to listen. We got to listen. I want to take you back to February 2nd, 1953. 1953, we're going back a few years, okay? All right, President Dwight Eisenhower, okay? This is what he told Congress on that date. Listen up. He said, the calculated pressure of aggressive communism have forced us to live in a world of turmoil. No single country, even one so powerful as ours, can alone defend the liberty of all nations threatened by communist aggression from without and subversion within. Socialistic tactics have been infiltrating our country before then and since. At the College of William and Mary, President Eisenhower gave this speech on May 15th, 1953. This is what he said. It is necessary that we earnestly seek out and uproot any traces of communism at any place where it can affect our national life. The true way to uproot communism in this country is to understand what freedom means and thus develop an impregnable wall that no thought of communism can enter. Communism is a socialistic way of thinking. It's an idea that everyone receives equal shares of all of the benefits that are derived collectively. That's the idea, where no one person owns anything. You don't own any money. You don't own any property. Everyone owns everything, but it's all controlled by the government. It's about big government controlling the people. If you remember in your history books, the original colonists tried this type of socialism in the settlement in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and again in Jamestown. Gary taught on this from this pulpit several times, but I'll mention it again, okay, for some of you who are new. And they found out that did not work. Actually, they tried it, and it failed miserably. There was a lot of starvation, much sickness, a lot of death, because a large percentage of able-bodied men, who could have been productive, chose not to. In other words, they got lazy. They got lazy. You know, under the socialistic system, that's what, the investors that sent the pilgrims here, they paid for the voyage, and they wanted everyone to share everything equally. That sounds really great and wonderful, doesn't it? That sounds awesome. But what they found out, it really didn't work. It wasn't working so good. The problem was that, everyone was supposed to do their share of work. But when they found out, hey, I can get the same share as someone else if I don't work, then all of a sudden they were sick. all of a sudden they were disabled. They couldn't work. And so it really caused some major problems. There was a shortage of food. There was starvation. There was sickness. A lot of death because of that. John Smith, he was the leader of the Jamestown colony. He corrected the problem. In spring of 1609, this is what he said. "Countrymen, the long experience of our late miseries, I hope, is sufficient to persuade everyone to a present correction of himself. And think not that either my pains nor the adventurers' purses," those are the people who financed the voyages, "none of that will ever maintain you in idleness and sloth. The greater part must be more industrious or starve." He was being pretty straightforward here. "You must obey this now for a law, that he that will not work shall not eat, except by sickness he be disabled. For the labors of 34 honest and industrious men shall not be consumed to maintain 150 idle loiterers." What he was saying was there was about 20% of people doing the work, but sharing it all with everybody else, and it wasn't enough production. It wasn't enough. So, John Smith there, he adopted a biblical principle. The Apostle Paul said this, Kathy, in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, "If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." The socialistic system encouraged well able-bodied men and women to be slothful, to be lazy. So William Bradford, he was the leader there in the Plymouth colony. He they were having the same problems, starvation. They were doing the same thing with this socialistic kind of thing, but he said, well, he abolished that socialism and he implemented a free market system, and he gave plots of land to everybody. Everyone had their own plots of land. You can produce and you can keep your produce, and production changed dramatically. All of a sudden, those people who were sick and disabled and who couldn't work, all of a sudden, they could work, and they produced beautifully. They all came out. Even the children came out, and worked, and they never had a problem with starvation again in either of those colonies. Godly principles. Socialism does not work. It doesn't work. Scripture proves it. Experience proves it. It doesn't work. Kathy, could you bring up the next slide? This is a slide of Hugo Chavez. He was the president of Venezuela. He instituted their present system of socialism. You know all the issues going on in Venezuela. They are poverty stricken. They should not be. They should not be. But they adopted the socialist platform. We see a lot of people, proponents of socialism today, opinions being spoken very loud, in the political arena, that we should go in this socialistic direction. They do so with much ignorance or with a plan, a goal in mind. I want to borrow a phrase from Vladimir Lenin. He was the first communist leader of the Soviet Union. Kathy, could you bring up the next slide? This is what Vladimir Lenin said. "The goal of socialism is what?" Absolutely. That's what he said. The goal of socialism is communism. Do you know there was a recent poll, a Gallup poll taken recently, and that revealed that 43% of Americans think socialism is good. Is that sad? That's sad. They're deceived. They're deceived. They're lining up with Lenin. What's the goal of socialism? Communism. In 1963, a representative from Florida named Albert Herlong Jr., this is 1963, He read a list of subversive communist goals for America. He read this list, and they were put into congressional record on January 10th, 1963. That information is found in volume 109 of the 88th Congress, first session, appendix 834 and 835, okay? So I want to share some of those goals that were revealed back in 1963. And you tell me if any of them are apparent today, okay? Kathy, could you bring up the first one? I'm only going to give you some of them. I'm not giving you all the whole list, but the first one there is eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools. This was the communist agenda for America. Go to the next one, Kathy. Eliminate laws governing obscenity by calling them a violation of free speech. Next one. Discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity and divorce. Next one. Present homosexuality and promiscuity as normal, as natural, as healthy. Next one. Emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of the parents, infiltrate churches, and replace revealed religion with social religion. Next one, Kathy. Discredit the Bible and emphasize intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. Whoa. Next one. Discredit the Constitution by calling it inadequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs. Next one. Do you see any of this stuff today? Okay. All right. Discredit the founding fathers by calling them selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man. Next one. Soften the curriculum. Get control of teachers' unions. Put the party line in textbooks. Control student newspapers. Next one. Infiltrate the press, their editorial writing, their book reviews. Control key positions in radio and TV and movies. Next one. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in movies, TV, books, and magazines. Next one. Discourage the teaching of American history on the grounds that it was only a minor part of the big picture. Next one. Promote the United Nations, free trade, aid to all nations, regardless of communist affiliation. Internationalize the Panama Canal. These were the communist goals back in, what did I say, 1963. The Soviet use of these tactics was confirmed by the head of their KGB. His name is Vasily Matryokin. He was the director of the KGB, and he confirmed that this was the agenda for the communists to infiltrate our country. You know, if you think communism isn't a threat to our country today, because, well, you know, we saw what happened, you know, with the wall and the Soviet Union, think again. Roger Baldwin, he founded the ACLU. You ever heard of the ACLU? Is it very active today in our country? Yeah. Absolutely, it is. This is Roger Baldwin. He embraced communism, and he agreed with Lenin. The goal of socialism is communism. He's the one who founded ACLU. Bernie Sanders is a strong proponent for socialism, as are, you know, much of the Democratic platform. So it is alive and well here in America. We need to know this, church. We need to have discernment. The California Senate Fact-Finding Committee on Un-American Activities stated that the ACLU you may be definitely classified as a communist front, the ACLU, okay? Another bit of information here. The Time magazine senior editor in 1948, he was the senior editor. His name was Whitaker Chambers. He actually confessed to being a Soviet spy. He in his thinking, he thought communism, that's the answer. That's the way to go. So he became a Soviet spy. Somehow, in all that whole process, God got a hold of his heart. He became a Christian, and he defected from. He was no longer a Soviet spy. Actually, our government used him because he revealed who those Soviet spies were in our country. So he was used for that. But I want to give you a quote that he said. Kathy, could you pull this up? This is what this man said. He wrote, "The communist vision is a vision of man without God." Communism is anti-God. Socialism is anti-God. Our people have to wake up and see it for what it is. They didn't know the truth. They need discernment. They need discernment. No longer be deceived or seduced by that enemy. Our country's foundation is being attacked. You can see it in the news daily. So we have to have discernment and know what the truth is. If the foundation is compromised, the whole structure collapses, the whole thing falls. We got to turn back to God and His Word. That's our foundation, okay? Anything else is sinking sand. You know, I was encouraged by Prophet John Mark last week when he said, he prophesied, he said, our country will return to God. He said, you know, but we got a part to play in that. You know, I believe that we will. But I also believe that the stage is set right now, that the Antichrist could come in, and there are so many people who are duped, they would welcome him. Welcome him. So many people are blinded by the enemy. There is an obvious division in this country, an obvious attack on our land. Kathy, could you go to the next scripture? Luke 11:17. Jesus said this, "Any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall." We need the Black Robe Regiment in their pulpits doing what they did back when our country was founded. We need them now more than ever. You know, we as Christians will be overcomers no matter what goes on, as long as we stay close to God and want to stay on His Word. You know, we're overcomers by what? The blood of the Lamb, blood of Jesus, word of our testimony, and we don't love our lives unto the death. Death is no biggie for us, right? We just change addresses in the blink of an eye, right? Yeah, absolutely. That communist agenda that I revealed earlier disclosed one of the goals is to discredit the Bible. They want to discredit the Bible. That's an attack on the Word of God, on our foundation as Christians. That's what Satan did in the Garden of Eden. You know, he attacked the Word of God. He encouraged Eve to doubt God's Word and then disobey it. If the foundation is compromised or destroyed, the whole thing collapses. You know, we saw last time that if a house is built on the rock, and the storms of life come, that house will stand. If that house is built on anything else, it's sinking sand. And when the storms of life come, that structure crumbles. It crumbles. That's Matthew 7:24-27. We saw that last time. You know, this applies to our country's foundation, but this message is also applying to our own personal foundation on God's Word. We see people falling away from God and His Word. You know, we've seen that moral pendulum swing way to the other side, way to the other side, totally opposite of God, honoring God's Word. And it's infiltrated the church. Sadly, it's infiltrated the church. If we want to be able to stand, you know, we've got things coming at us, you know. There's a lot of shifting going on. If we want to be able to stand through that, we got to stand on that Word and not be moved off of it. We got to have the Word in us so that we can stand. We have to take personal responsibility and just stand on that word, not be moved off of it, not seduced away from it, and not dishonor that. I said we need the Black Robe Regiment in their pulpits doing what they did. We need them there today, speaking the truth unapologetically, unashamedly, without fear, from their pulpits, the truth of God's word. You know, we needed it back then, you know, when our country was being founded, but we need it now. You know, if you don't know what I'm talking about, the Black Robed Regiment, they were the pastors. The Black Robe Regiment that I'm talking about were pastors in their pulpit, and back then they wore these black robes. We don't, you know, not everyone wears those black robes now anymore, but I'm talking about the pastors at that time. Those were the pastors. Those were the preachers behind their pulpit speaking the truth. They were encouraging our founding fathers to go out and do what they did. They were encouraging them with the word. So they spoke boldly, and they without apologies, they influenced our founding fathers to stand up. And they came against the greatest army at that time that was on this earth, the British army, and they defeated them. I mean, the odds, you know, if you sit and think about the odds, those odds are not very good. But God. Amen. But God. Amen. If God's in it, we're okay. We got to stay close to God. You know, we need that same kind of preaching today. Someone asked, last time I spoke, you know, can you share that again? And so I will do that today. But back in 2016, this was like, you know, when it just before the election, it looked like the polls all said Hillary won. It looked like, you know, Donald was not going to be winning. And I was asking God, you know, as I always do, what do you want me to preach on? Where do you want me to go with the message? And he told me the Black Robed Regiment. And I thought, I never heard the Black Robed Regiment taught from the pulpit. But okay, you know, I'll be obedient and we'll do that. And so that day I taught about the Black Robed Regiment and who they were and what they did and how that affected the outcome of our country. They were bold, you know, to speak the truth. And so this is the truth, guys. I tell you, whoever was here, this is the truth. You know, I was preaching on the Black Robe Regiment, and that same day, while I was preaching, someone came here and dropped off these voter guides. You know, I laminated this one because I just wanted to keep it because this is like your air conditioning thing, James. This is like. Like, okay, God, I heard you. I don't understand it, but I'm going to do it. Okay. And then that same day, someone drops off these voter guides upstairs. No one else is open, you know, in this building but us on a Sunday. On a Sunday, while I'm preaching, they dropped off these voter guides. So my husband goes up, he sees them, and he brings them down, and I'm looking at them like, whoa. Oh, wow. English on one side, Hispanic on the other. Simple questions, and they have all the you know, the people who are running for office there. The presidential people, right? Hillary and Donald, and they have, you know, they have the candidates there, and they have the questions here. You know, how do you stand on pro-life? First question, and Hillary said no for pro-life. Donald said yes. Now, is there any gray area in between the two of them there? No gray area, right? That's how all these questions were. No, yes. Everything Hillary was for, Donald was against. Anything Donald was for, Hillary was against. So no, there was no gray area. I'm like, this is an awesome voter guide. Who printed this one up? Because we were handing out all the voter guides. We got Billy Graham's back there. We had all kinds of voter guides that we were handing out to our people. And it just really just reveals we're not supporting anyone. We're just revealing the truth. Where do they stand? We need to be... we need to have knowledge. We need to know the truth to go to that voting booth, right? We need to know what we're voting for. So we hand out voter guides. We're allowed to do that. But this one got delivered to us while I'm preaching on the Black Robe Regiment. I said, Gary, who printed this one out? And I'm reading through all, paid for by the National Black Robe Regiment. I'm like, I didn't know they existed today in Texas. True story, guys. I can't make this stuff up. I tell you, I can. Awesome, awesome. So we need the Black Robe Regiment right now, today, in our pulpits, preaching the truth. You know what? I hope I don't offend anybody. I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm going to preach the truth. I got to do that. You know, I may not be wearing a black robe, but I can fill one out. I can tell you. We're preaching the truth. We're preaching the truth. Woo! Yeah, awesome. So the truth is God's word. That's our foundation. It's the word of God. That's where our focus has to be. That's where our allegiance must be. The Apostle Paul gave these instructions to his spiritual son, Timothy. Kathy, could you bring up 2 Timothy 3? And we're going to start at verse 13. This is what Paul said to Timothy. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Does the Bible still apply to us today? Is it relevant to us today? Absolutely. Absolutely. We're seeing it today. Verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Verse 15. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 16, Kathy. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Paul is saying, Timothy, you got the Holy Scriptures. Stand on them. Don't be moved off of them. Yeah, we're going to have some imposters. We're going to have some evil men trying to get you off of it. Don't be moved. Stand on the word. That's your foundation, Timothy. Stand on it. The Holy Scriptures are, this is the word of God. God wrote this Bible. Yeah, he used men, but he influenced the men to write. He told them what to write. So God inspired godly men to write our Scriptures. That word can make us wise. God's word makes us wise. Thoroughly equipped in what we need to do. If we as Christians want to be able to stand through the shifting that we see and the shifting that we're going to continue to see for a while, we need to stand on the Word of God. We got to have the Word of God in us, okay? It's inspired by God. It's given by God through man. Kathy, could you go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Knowing this first, this is Peter, knowing this first that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. When Prophet John Mark spoke that Trump is God's man, whether you like him or not, he will be the next president, he will be in the White House, do you think he thought that up himself? No. He heard Holy Spirit tell him that. Holy Spirit. Godly men were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this word. And we're told in Scripture, we're to meditate on this word. We're to focus on the Word of God. To give it our full attention. Full attention. We're to renew our minds to this. Are we to have the mind of the world? No. We're to renew our minds. What did God say? The world will fade away, but God's word will still be standing. Still be standing. This is the interesting thing. You know, as we focus on God's word, as we put our focus on his word, we come into alignment with it. Our thinking comes into alignment with it by focusing on his word. It changes our perspective, you know. The world wants to keep drawing us into its perspective, but God says, no, 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 no. Spend time with me. And our whole perspective changes. This is who you are. This is what I've done for you. We got to know what that is. You know, I mentioned this back in the Bible study, in our Bible. In our prayer room, in our Bible study this week, God directed someone here. It was a divine appointment, I believe. And we make declarations and confessions of who we are in Christ. And this person said, "Well, isn't that pride? Isn't that pride? You know, saying that you are the head and not the tail? Saying that you are above and not beneath?" No! God said it. That's who we are. That's who we are. You know, if I say my name is Rhonda Butts, that's not prideful. That's who I am. If God says this is who we are, we're the head, we're not the tail, that's not prideful. That's who we are. We need to know who we are. The enemy wants to squelch us down and say, "No, you're a worm. You're a worm. None of this stuff belongs to you." It sure does. Jesus bought it for us. Absolutely, it belongs to us. That's not pride. That's what God said. We're just aligning up with God's word. If our attention is distracted from the word, then our focus changes, and that's the way we will go. You know, as a man thinks in his heart. Kathy, could you bring up that scripture? Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Whatever our dominant thought is, that's the way we will go. Our thoughts need to line up with God's word. If God's word would have been dominant in Adam and Eve there in the garden, they would not have fallen. Absolutely. Absolutely. They had the authority to do that. God's word has to be our firm foundation, because the enemy will continually try to get us off of it. Intellectually, people do believe that, you know, God tells the truth, but they don't always trust it with all of their being. We have to believe what God's word says 100% of the time. We can't doubt. We cannot waver. What does the Bible say? If we're doubting, if we're wavering, what will we receive? Nothing. Nothing. We have to stand firm on his word. You know, there is no other religion that has fulfilled prophecy like Christianity. None other. We shared a few messages ago that just what would the probability be, if you remember this, of Jesus fulfilling only 8 of those 300 plus prophecies. What would the probability be? Anyone remember the number? Where's Barry? He remembered it the first time. The probability of one person fulfilling only 8 of the prophecies, only 8, is 1 in 100 quadrillion. What does it look like, Kathy? Bring it up. That's of someone only fulfilling 8 of those 300 some prophecies. But Jesus fulfilled them all. And this was the really cool thing. Those prophecies weren't vague. They were very clear. Jesus would be born to a virgin. Mary knew whether she was a virgin or not. He would be born in Bethlehem. He would be betrayed. He would be beaten and scourged. They would divide his clothes and cast lots for his robe. That he would be crucified. He would be wounded, his hands, his side. And that he would be raised up on the third day. Those weren't just, you know, gray areas. Those were very specific prophecies. And Jesus is the fulfillment of those prophecies. And many of those prophecies were given hundreds of years before Jesus ever appeared on the scene in that manger. But today we see the word of God being attacked from the very first sentence in the Bible. Kathy, could you pull that up, please? Our foundation is being attacked at the very first sentence, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. God, in the beginning, God. The world is saying, "Oh, there is no God. We don't need God. We don't need God. We got this, God. We're okay on our own. Look what we've accomplished." Mm-mm. No, there's an Antichrist spirit in America, and it's coming against the word of God, just like Satan did in the garden. And, you know, we're seeing people cave in. We're going to be talking about that a little bit more next week. But if the foundations are destroyed, if the foundations are compromised, the structure falls. The foundation of the Bible is the book of Genesis. That's where the attack is being hit. So if you take Genesis out, the whole Bible collapses. So we're going to be talking over our next couple of messages. We're going to be hitting on Genesis. We need our foundations built up and strengthened. What are you believing today? You know, you may have been taught something when you were little. What do you believe today? We're restoring the foundation. This past Thursday, someone had shared a dream that they had not too long ago. And they shared it with us during our Bible study. And this was the dream that they had. They saw a lot of cracks, like in a wall. They saw a lot of cracks. And she said she saw in her dream, Gary and I were in her dream, and we were filling in those cracks. We were filling in those cracks. And she said, Pastor Rhonda, I believe that dream was for me because that's what you're doing to me with your messages every Sunday. You're filling in the cracks. But I don't think it was just for one person. I believe this message is for the whole church. We're filling in cracks. We're filling in that foundation. And our mortar is this. This is the mortar. We're filling in the cracks. So anyway, that's where we're going for the next. Can we have a microphone? Microphone, honey. Hold on, Kenny.
When I came to this church, I was sent here. God sent me here specifically, and I had a conversation with Pastor Rhonda. Can you grab that for me, please, brother? And I had a conversation with Pastor Rhonda about problems that I had in other church ministries. But God specifically guided me here to learn the word. Mm-hmm. And to understand the gifts that were in me from a child that I didn't walk in the right way, in the kingdom of heaven way. I didn't know. And so a brother here that's an associate pastor, he's not here today, but his lovely wife and his son is here, said, you need the word in you so that you can say these things that you're seeing in the right way. And, you know, that bounced in my head for a month. And then I found myself here. And I submitted myself to be under this teaching to learn the word. And the first thing that she was teaching was foundations of faith. I just wanted to throw that out. And really, the truth is what got me grounded. The foundations of faith itself is what she was teaching at the time. And I'm sure it's recorded or it's on Podbean. But really, you really can't go nowhere without it. That teaching, and this, I think, is just like another 2019 version of that, but it's awesome. You know, it just grounds you back in it. Really, no matter where you've been, I don't care how long you've been in church, I don't know how much you learn the words, when you hear this foundation of faith, it makes you stronger. It makes you stronger to understand where you're actually coming from, and so that you could take these gifts that you've been given and hand it back to God and say, God, you know, clean it up. I want to use them for your kingdom. So that's what happened to me with the foundation. So this is, I just want to say what you just said. It was very important.
Thank you, Kenny. I appreciate that. You know, Scripture says that we should not forsake the assembling of each other. You know what? When I come in here with you like-minded guys, I get strengthened. You know what? We go out into the world, and the world can pull you in all kinds of different directions, but we got to stay on the Word. That's why, you know what? Sunday morning is just not enough for you to feed on this. You got to open this up Monday morning. And Tuesday morning, and you know what I mean? You got to feed on it. But that just getting back in the Word, stay with the Word. If we stay with the Word, doesn't matter what's going on in the world. We'll be okay. We'll be all right. Okay. Yes.
Thank you. Good morning, all. Pastor Rhonda, stay encouraged. You are on point.
Thank you.
We need to be shaken. We need to be shaken. I'm shaking in my skin right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I was at a conference yesterday where prophets were there and evangelists and spoke strongly of this case of our nation and our people. And one of the scriptures that were spoken is Isaiah 61. And God wants us and needs us to advocate. Okay, we need to stand firm on the word, equip our hearts and our bodies to speak his word forth, the gospel, so that others may be equipped and prepared for this warfare that we are facing. 60 verse 1 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But,
but
the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy." I praise God. I praise God for this.
Awesome.
And one thing that was revealed to us at the conference is that a prophet saw a wave come over. And I had this dream last week, which I briefly shared with Pastor Rhonda. This wave was coming over our nation, over the earth. However, Jesus, God's hand, his finger, went straight through the wave and down to the bottom of the ocean. And it was shaken. And it was shaken. And what we are instructed to do is rise because he's shaking his people to be ready for this.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Can I share a little bit on that wave?
Sure.
Amen.
I actually read... it was a prophecy from 1975. I couldn't sleep. The Holy Spirit had me reading a lot of stuff on the internet. But I read about the wave. And there were three waves. And in the middle wave, that was when people were falling away. That word gave me a lot of hope that what the prophets are saying is real. Because the third wave that was coming was drawing the people back to God.
Amen.
And so praise God for that word. I needed to hear that today.
So good. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. We have a closing hymn for this message. And so, Kathy, thank you.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood poured in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. on Christ this solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for your words of life. We thank you, Father, for the foundation on the rock. Lord, we place our foundation on you. You're the rock. So we thank you, Father, that no matter what storms or floods come our way, we will stay standing on your word and not be moved off of it. We thank you, Father, when all else falls around us, Lord, we'll still be standing. We thank and we give you praise, Father. Let this word today produce in these hearts, Lord, a thousandfold return. We give you praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said,
Amen.
God bless.